With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I am sitting here with Chris Payne.
Hi there.
As well as Trish Halpin.
Hi.
Returning guest Trish. She was with us, I think, 2015.
Yeah, failed miserably and I got invited back because I guess you were desperate.
Back by desperate demand. So one of the new things we've got going on here is our microphones are on stands. So, like, it's pretty usually when we're doing this podcast, we're holding microphones, which is, you know, just the way we did it. And now we have these fancy stands, like, almost like when you watch a radio show. So it's really throwing me off, honestly.
I don't think anyone else cares.
No one else does care. I'm just, if I sound off anyone listening, it's because of these stands. I'm having a weird time with it. But let's start. So we've had a lot of, like, kind of... a lot of big name releases this year come out in sort of unusual ways, sort of that like faux surprise release. And the latest one was the new Radiohead, which is called A Moon-Shaped Pool, which they released on their website, on Apple, on Tidal, significantly not on Spotify, because Tom York hates Spotify. But hopefully it'll be coming to that soon. But so we want to talk about that a little bit. So... first off, what do you guys think about this release method? Before we actually talk about the music, like, what's your take on it?
Surprise release, just like these mic stands.
Exactly.
I don't mind the surprise release because then it makes it much easier. As soon as it's out, I find it way more exciting, and I tend to just over-consume the music. When I realized that I didn't cancel my Tidal subscription... went on and listened to the Radiohead album twice in a row just because I was so excited that it was there and I could have it immediately. Whereas with anything else that I kind of know is coming, by the time it finally drops, I forget about it.
No, I mean, I sometimes feel the same way too. It's like you hear an album's coming out in like half a year. It's like, great, remind me in a half a year? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think these event album releases do a great deal of stirring up anticipation for the album coming out, instant anticipation. It gets people really excited right away, and it gets them talking and socializing it and just like making a big deal out of it in a way that I don't think they'd be talking and conversing about an album that just came out the traditional way.
Yeah. I would agree with
that. If it just like came out on a release date announced like 3 months before, I don't think people would be like all over social media with takes about an album the same way.
Yeah. That might be true.
Well, also, there's less reviews ahead of time, because we didn't... I mean, as far as I know, no one here got an advance of Radiohead, whereas typically we would get an advance release of something. We didn't have a lot of the other surprise releases or any of the surprise releases, but because there's no known information about it besides it exists, I think it also makes it... people
like
just
mystery and curiosity.
Yeah, there's a and you just want to listen to it immediately so you can either have the first opinion or so that
right.
You can be the think or feel as though you're the first person to hear it, and that's a special experience sometimes.
Yeah, there's that FOMO that comes into play.
Yeah.
All right, well let's talk about some of the music. So Trish, you were a huge fan of this album. And by huge fan I mean you like it, and
yeah.
That's significant because you don't particular well, you're not like a huge Radiohead fan.
No, I mean, I like a lot of the older songs that everyone knows,
mm-hmm.
but I had no idea until a couple days ago that the last song on the track, that it was an older song because it was just never released. I'm not a huge fan. I just wouldn't know about it. But again, because it was kind of a surprise, I got excited about it. I actually had Tidal so I can listen. I listened all the way through, and it was just, I don't know, I thought it was really good. I thought it was a well put together album, similar to Beyonce's Lemonade, how it was all one cohesive kind of, not necessarily the same story, but it was a cohesive album. It wasn't piecemeal. I really liked it.
Yeah. But I mean, this could be about Tom York being
I mean, I don't know about cheated on, but
did Jay-Z cheat on Tom York?
Our freelancer Kim Partridge, she wrote a really good take on the album for billboards.com that you should check out, was actually mentioning it a little bit, how even though York's lyrics are very, very obscure and difficult to decipher, he did split up with a partner of, I think, over 20 years, was it? Or
I actually forgot about that. I don't remember how long it was. Yeah, he was with someone, I think, since the 90s.
Yeah, and he was, like, our writer was wondering if, like, some of the lyrics on the album could have been about the breakup.
Oh, God, I love a breakup album.
Yeah?
Jagged Little Pill, Lemonade, like,
Joni Mitchell Blue. I'm imagining now Tom York in Lemonade Yellow going down the street with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah, just with his hot sauce baseball bat, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he probably did that, too.
Yeah, he probably did that.
I think he was mad that Beyonce's album came out the week before his, or 2 weeks before, so...
In the one video, he just walks around places and stares at things, and then he, like, goes into a cave. That's
wait,
that's
is that an actual thing?
That's, yeah. For the song you picked, Trish, for...
There's Daydreaming.
Daydreaming, yeah. For Daydreaming, that's what happens in the music video.
Yeah, it's not the most exciting music video in the world. I mean, if you like watching people walk through parking lots, it's a great music video.
Alienated. Feeling a bit alienated in these modern times.
One of our writers kind of, I thought, interestingly pointed out that the video was directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who's done, like, Boogie Nights and Magnolia and a lot of those, like, indie classics. That the first music video that guy directed was Michael Penn's, I forget the name of the song now, but Michael Penn, Sean Penn's brother, used to have a music career. Maybe he still does. I feel like after saying used to, I'm like catching myself. But that it's actually that video, his latest one, Paul Thomas Anderson's Radiohead video, is pretty similar to the first video he ever directed. So it's kind of like a bookendy sort of thing. Or it could not be. It could be a total coincidence. But the similar sort of man wandering in places. Video, but yeah, let's listen to a little bit of Daydreaming, and then we'll go and talk about one of the other tracks. So here is a bit of Daydreaming. So that was Daydreaming from the new Radiohead. I like that one a lot. It has, like, the nice, like, piano, and it has a really good build to it. The one I liked, and admittedly, like, I'm going to come out and say I have not listened to the full album. I don't have a Tidal subscription anymore, and I haven't paid for it because I'm just waiting for it to, like, drop in full on Spotify, terrible to say.
I actually think I'm going to keep my Tidal subscription. I'm going to resubscribe because... I hate that all the apps are, they're all separate and all the music's in different places,
know,
and it's a
so
pain.
Annoying.
And I need some, like, 13-year-old tech whiz kid to just make something that puts them all into one app. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it's a really good album. And if Tom York really hates Spotify, I'm not going to gamble not having that album and just waiting.
Yeah, I re-upped too because also, similarly, I really wanted to listen to just all the Prince albums lately.
It's
and
true.
It's like all of them. I mean, maybe there are other places besides Tidal. I mean, besides obviously buying them.
iTunes, right. That's
but
it.
Yeah, I'd like to just stream them and, like, you know, a lot of them I'm unfamiliar with. So to just be able to listen to them once, you know, at my leisure, it's
right. Yeah, the
what
Prince is a pretty good selling point. I mean, I'm a real Prince fan, so I have all those on CD.
Oh.
So not a big deal. Oh. And to answer your question, no, I don't still have a CD player, but I have them ripped on my computer.
When you're a citizen of Minnesota, you just sort of get that by birthright.
Right. You're just kind of born with a bunch of Prince CDs. You don't even know how it happened. Like Prince cassettes and CDs. And it's like, wow, I guess I have this triple disc Prince album. I don't know how. But actually, that did happen. After he died, I was like looking through my stuff and I was like, I didn't even remember owning this one, but I did. So, anyways, but let's talk about another one of the Radiohead songs. So, Burn the Witch, that's another one of the few that I've heard. I really like that one. Yeah, that one really has good. That, like, really urgent, like, string section that's just kind of, like, building up to something, like, sinister and weird and, like, kind of magical sounding.
Yeah, I really like that one. It was the first one that they released from the album, right?
Yes.
But to me, because, again, I'm not the biggest Radiohead fan in the world, I just like their music sometimes, all the time, but, you know, not the point. But it sounded very much like the older Radiohead songs that I do know and that I do like, and I was into it. It was a nice way to get excited for that album when it came out.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite. I mean, it's definitely the most accessible track on the album. Definitely the least sleepy track on the album. And I mean, I really enjoy the album altogether. And that one's kind of the outlier. But I do think it is my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's like catchy. Like you were saying, like this is, again, haven't heard the whole album. But from what I have heard on it, like it is more, I guess, accessible. Like some of the Radiohead 90s stuff, like OK Computer and The Bends. Not that it exactly sounds like it, but like they're real songs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like the last one,
Nerd just rolled his eyes so hard at that.
It's true. You know, whereas like the last one was the last two really were like pretty krautrock inspired. So you have these kind of like, you know, they're more like about like taking segments of a song and kind of like working through it than they are about like a more traditional song structure. So I'm not saying like the Radiohead that you loved as a kid are back, but like it does seem like they're, I guess, easing off of the like super experimental stuff. Is that true, you think, for the rest of the album?
Yeah, and like we were saying, like there's True Love Waits, the track that I believe was roughly 15 years old, had become a live favorite of many Radiohead fans, and finally actually released on an album, aside from, you know, years and years of just being a song that people love to hear live and love to like hold as like a favorite of the super fans, because the casual fans who just listen to albums on, you know, like CD or streaming, whatever, just don't know the song because it's not on there. So like finally re-releasing some material, or actually just releasing some material from the late 90s, I think naturally some of the album will recall that era.
Yeah. Do you think some of the Radiohead darks are going to be pissed now that the song, they're like, well, my favorite Radiohead song you probably haven't even heard, they only ever played it live twice, and now that it's like an album track that's been taken away from them?
And now I can be like, haha, sucker, I've heard it.
I don't know. We'll have to find some.
I haven't really heard that. It seems, I mean, just in general, the discourse around the album seems pretty positive.
Yeah, it does. All right. Well, if you're listening, Tom, which I can almost guarantee you aren't, put it on Spotify, because, I don't know, that'd be nice. Let's listen to Burn the Witch before we move on to the next one. So this is another song from the new Radiohead record. It is called Burn the Witch. This is love. That's Radiohead's Burn the Witch from A Moon-Shaped Pool. Next up, let's talk about something not very similar to Radiohead at all. It's Ariana Grande. It's her new song, Into You, from upcoming album Dangerous Woman. And this is a C-Pain pick. So why'd you give us this slice of Ari?
This song's ready to get me like really into Ariana Grande. It's like I don't dislike her, but I've just always been just like, okay, her songs are pretty cool. Never just like really had the urge to really like sink into one of her albums, but this track's just a banger. You know, it kind of makes me think of a few things. There's on the Carly Rae Jepsen album, there's L.A. Hallucinations, which is my favorite track on the album. Just like a super clubby track, super catchy, massive production. Reminds me of that, and also the song Usher. Screams, a single from a few years ago.
Yeah,
just like that's a great song. It's Ariana's this massive club banger, and I love that.
I don't like it as much as Dangerous Woman. Sorry.
Oof.
I'll like it more in the summer. You know, driving to the beach, hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, while it was rainy all week, I wasn't as into it.
So it's a little weather dependent.
It's weather dependent. I mean, I think it'll be a big summer song. I mean, I'll definitely listen to it when whatever local radio station you guys have, like Z100 or equivalent.
We all live in the same city, so. Oh, you're talking to people. Sorry.
We all go our
I thought you were, like,
ways.
Looking at me. Like...
Is the podcast listenership exclusive to New York City?
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Right to correct me. Sorry. yeah, I think I don't know. I guess I'm like split. I like it, but I do think that is like the first time I listened to it. I couldn't like remember the melody immediately afterwards, but while I was hearing it, I did really like it. It just seems like it is like a banger, and it's like a pretty organic dance floor song. Like, as I mean, like I don't want to like put down. I do like Ariana Grande, but like sometimes some of her other dance ones I've listened to and been like, oh, it seems like maybe a little forced. Like you can tell that she's like hitting the studio to be like, all right, this is where we record the dance song. And this one just feels like it pretty natural. Like it just feels really like straightforward and organic, like, you know, just like a off the cuff performance, you know, something that like Madonna was good at, like, and still is, of course. A good Madonna's still good at everything. But, you know, just like singing a dance song. And, you know, I'm sure she always has done multiple takes, but it just always sounded like she just, like, showed up in the booth, sang the lyrics, and then walked out. Like, it seemed pretty casual and convincing. That being said, you know, Ariana Grande obviously has really, like, pretty intense and impressive vocals, and you hear a little bit of that here. I liked how Dangerous Woman had the kind of throwback feel. That was cool, but I'm into this. I'm into you.
Well, it's not that I don't like it. I just think once I'm more in the summer vibe... That's when I'll be ready to blast that.
Yeah. All right. What do you? So, Chris, you're.
Yeah.
But you're a big fan.
Yeah. Would you say? Would you say Ariana's making a confession on a dance floor?
I wouldn't go that far. Definitely doesn't reach those heights. Those dizzying heights. But actually, that would be cool if she did something with that guy. Stuart Price was the producer on that album.
This is with Max Martin, co-produced by Max Martin.
Yeah.
This
no,
is
I
like
mean, Max
remix.
Martin's great.
It'll, you know.
Yeah.
It'll get dancier for me.
All right. Well, let's... And most importantly, like, she's kind of moved into the Bunnyears phase of her career, right? Because it was... Before that, it was all... First album... Or second album was all about the cat ears. And now she's... Gotten rid of the cat ears, moved on to the bunny ears, period.
I don't know enough about her to comment on this.
All right.
I'll say sure.
She's moved on from the cute little kitty phase to the sexy bunny phase. Think about those two Halloween costumes and, like, it's
yeah.
just the different attitude that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. She's okay. up into the, like, mature, sexy phase.
The bunny is sexier?
Well, Playboy bunnies
bunny.
Are
oh.
sexier than.
Well, I mean, because I have
well,
seen,
and also,
I've
you
seen
know.
A picture of her, like a publicity photo of her, like wearing bunny ears.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly
okay.
what we're talking about.
The cover
about.
Of
yeah.
this single.
Okay.
Yeah. Which makes you just think, like, what's next? Like, Trish,
well,
what's the next progression?
Well,
cat to bunny.
She's been in a lot of latex lately, so mm-hmm. I think that's also part of the bunny ears. And from then on, I have no idea. I don't really know where it goes.
Yeah, I don't really know what the progression in sexy animals is from there. Like, what animal is sexiest
sexy
of
kangaroo?
Them all?
I don't know.
Hot kangaroo. Yeah. They've got that nice pouch going on, and I don't know. That would be weird.
I can't think of sexy animals.
Maybe she'll like do a kangaroo thing and then carry Frankie Grande around in her pouch.
Oh, that'd be adorable.
That would be really adorable, actually.
So that wouldn't be sexy. That would be back to cute.
Yeah, it'd be back to cute. All right. Anyways.
Well, I hope she's listening and here's our kangaroo idea.
We'll workshop this. We'll do some drawings. We'll figure this thing out. All right. Let's listen to a little of Ariana Grande's Into You, and that's from Dangerous Woman. All right, that's a new Ariana Grande song. Next up, let's do another C-Pain pick. So we've got, we're going from Ariana Grande to the broiest of the bro bands, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And so they've got a new song. They've got a new album.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, so the song is called Dark Necessities.
Yeah.
When at first, I think you mistyped it when you said
that.
That was intentional. That was intentional. Nice.
I'm glad you're talking about it now, though.
Yeah, because you called it Dank Necessities, and I was like, oh my god, there's no way they actually released a song called Dank Necessities.
When I saw that was the title, I was like, they definitely thought about calling this Dank Necessities. They had to be talked out of it.
Right. Someone's like, no, guys, that's way too far. Like, you can't have the name Dank in a song. Like, it's just peak peppers.
Because Anthony in the chorus sings, "Dark necessities are part of my design."
And if you change it to Dank Necessities.
Yeah, it still fits. There's a little bit of bang, 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 a little bit of that.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah. I practiced my
in case anyone's listening, that
flea.
Wasn't a real guitar.
Flea is actually not
Chris's
here.
Mouth.
Flea is not actually here right now, shockingly.
But yeah, so wait, do we know what the new album is called? I don't think we do yet.
I don't.
But anyways, it's been a while since we've had like a full album from those guys. I mean, I'm honestly not a big Chili Peppers fan, but like, and certainly when they did that double album that everyone liked so much, I was like, I can't even imagine listening to two full CDs of Chili Peppers.
I couldn't name
music.
Three Chili Pepper songs right now. Like, I would know
sure
them
I
if
name...
you played them, but I have
yeah.
no idea.
I mean, they've
yeah.
got a lot of classic. I mean, there's no way around that. Like, they have several classic albums
sure.
and a lot of songs that are just a part of, especially California culture, but, and I guess mm. by default, American culture as a whole, because it's like, if something is like part of California's fabric, it's just like, there's no way escaping it, no matter where you live in the country. But anyways, I'm just like rambling about
there's
California.
There's no escaping under the bridge is what you're saying.
There really isn't. But every time that comes up as karaoke, I'm like, come on guys, like that's such a mood kill. Like it's not fun to listen to. Especially if someone can't actually sing it. Not that I can sing. I can't sing for shit. But.
Didn't someone do Chili Peppers on the Paramore cruise during karaoke?
Yeah. Was what Joe was saying about like a mood killers in karaoke. Someone did No, it was Foo Fighters.
Oh, sorry. Sorry,
it was,
Dave.
But yeah, similar vibe. It's like a very, like, it was like one of their more serious songs and everyone was just kind of partying. I was like, this is not really the right vibe.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But anyways,
wrong
back,
band, sorry.
Back to Dank Necessities. So Chris, but you like, what do you think about this song?
Yeah, I think the song's awesome. To be honest, I've never been a massive fan of the band, and their last album I just didn't really pay much attention to at all. So, I mean, it was going to take a lot for to really jog me out of that, and this track did. You know, it's people have been surmising how the studio presence of a new producer, they work with Danger Mouse, for the first time on this after working with Rick Rubin for a long time, for about 25 years, always with him producing,
right.
and also Nigel Godrich, who normally produces Radiohead, mixed this album. So maybe some new brains in the studio, getting them to change their vibe a little bit, but there's a piano part that comes in just sort of out of nowhere in the middle eight of this song and just really takes it in a different direction, and it's just like a great... like headphone song, there's all sorts of great tracks going on in the sound of it. It's not obnoxious like a lot of not.
I know
it's,
what you
it's,
mean.
It's a
I totally
little. No, it's a
mean.
Little. There is. I mean, like I was saying, the bass line is very Flea. He's like, you know, Kiedis's lyrics are very Kiedis, but it's really not an obnoxious Chili Peppers song. They don't fall into like a lot of the traps they do. I think sometimes fall into, and it's just like a quality song.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you were pointing out the piano. Like, that really struck me. It did seem like obviously it's not totally new territory for them. I'm not saying this is like a total creative shift, but like
it's a Chili Peppers single for sure.
Yeah, but like the piano did kind of stick out as like not typical of them, and like it made me wonder like if that was the Nigel Godrich effect, like maybe just something in the way he mixed it or something. It did sound like better or cleaner. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. It kind of reminded me of when Nigel Godrich did that Paul McCartney album, Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, which was like still a McCartney record through and through, but it like tweaked the sound like ever so slightly that it did sound like different in the kind of a, I can't really think of the words, but just in a more like pristine way. But yeah, I liked this a lot more than I usually do, like lead singles from Chili Peppers projects. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not like beaten down the door for the album, but I liked the build up. I thought like the funk element was good without being like too, like sometimes they can oversell that to like an almost lame degree. I think it was nice and like perfectly, not under or overstated, just like perfectly stated.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about it, Trish?
I listened to it a few times today and then a little bit the other day without even knowing that we were going to be talking about it. So I just thought that was interesting as someone who doesn't really listen to the Chili Peppers so much, seeing how the last couple of years there's been a lot of more, just a lot more songs on the radio and Hot 100 that have a funk sound to them. I don't know if that's what kind of, if there's a trend in that or if it's just me not paying enough attention to the other music.
No, there definitely has been a trend in Hot 100 radio. Like, funk is like back in
Uptown Funk.
That was a big part of it. Yeah.
Well, also Nile Rodgers when he came back with Pharrell. Right.
With Pharrell and
what's his face over like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever that was.
Daft Punk. Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, I think it's great. Like, it's good to hear that back. I've always loved funk and think it's an underappreciated genre as a whole. I mean, the Chili Peppers are not my favorite practitioners of it by a long shot, but I feel like I'm being down on them. They are like a classic band and like, you know, respect to them and what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think would be a totally cool thing if this was like their biggest hit since like, you know, Snow or Danny California. And I think it has a good chance of doing that.
Cause it's just dank. You know what I'm saying, bro? It's just like a dank track. All right, let's listen to it. It is Dark Necessities, and I looked it up, and there is a name for it. It's The Getaway is the name of this album. And so let's listen to it. Yeah! You don't know my mind. You don't know my kind. Dark necessities are part of my design. Tell the world that I'm coming from the sky. All right, that was the new Red Hot Chili Peppers, Dark Necessities. Next up, we're going to go to one of my picks. This is Anhony. Am I pronouncing?
Anhony,
Anhony,
think.
Is yeah. That how? Okay. Anyways, it's Anhony Hopelessness, which is the title track from her new album. Probably 16 years ago, I think, was the first Anthony and the Johnsons album. And
yeah, it was self-titled. Yeah, it's about that. Yeah.
And
I think
Anthony,
it was self-titled.
Yeah, Anthony and the Johnsons, kind of a chamber poppy. Poppy is totally the wrong word. I would say like chamber pop, austere, indie act. Very like interesting constructions. She has a really incredible otherworldly voice. They did four albums as Anthony and the Johnsons. A few years back, she came out as a trans woman. And this is her first album, her first full album as Anhony. So this is minus the Johnsons' first album post coming out. And I've always been a fan of them. And I heard there's been a lot of, I think, mixed reviews of it. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's good, but it's not like the most enjoyable listen. And I mean, while it's true that it's like a pretty dark, brooding, thematically dour affair, like it's really beautiful, and like her voice is just peerless. And anyway, I specifically picked this song Hopelessness because I just like so before it was a more kind of like chamber pop rock leaning thing, vaguely rock. This is adding a lot more electronics to her soundscape. And the synths are really just like, they sound like lost in space and just kind of like through a warped lens. The lyrics are really interesting. They're all about, on the whole album and this song in particular, about like nature being destroyed and the extinction of species. She actually had an Academy Award nominated song. I can't remember what it was called, but it was for the documentary Racing Extinction, which is pretty much about what it sounds like. So I just thought it was a really interesting album, and just like, she's just one of those artists who has just for years and continues to be just like unlike anyone else. I don't know. What do you guys think about it?
Yeah, I had been sleeping on the new project for a little while because I was really, really into the two Anthony and the Johnson albums that got a lot of acclaim back in like the 2000s, the aughts.
There I'm a Bird Now.
I'm a Bird Now like, in the Crying Light. I was really, really into. And this one, like, I saw it got a 9.0 on Pitchfork. I saw some people were really into it. And I wanted to listen to it. And I just kept, like, not wanting to listen to it, like, while I was at work, like, at my work computer, and, like, wanted to, like, set aside, like, time with, like, good speakers at home and just never got a chance to listen to any of it. So this was my first introduction to the album. And, yeah, it's fantastic. I'd be interested to know what producer she worked with on this album because, as you were saying, the instrumentation, it used to be, like, a lot of classical instruments and strings.
Right.
And now it's electronic and it's... It for some people who were into the old projects, it might take some more time to get used to, but like the production is just so killer, like the way it twists and turns throughout the song. And,
yeah, I'm not sure who did this particular song, but I know One O Tricks Point Never that he did a lot of the production on this.
Was Evian Christ on the album?
Maybe.
Or was Arca?
Let's turn to the internet right now. Yes, there is, it looks like there was some Arca in there. So, all right, thanks, internet. Yeah, no, it's got that, like, kind of, I mean, it's like synth and electronic, but in that very, like, composer electronic vein, you know, it's not like synth pop, it's like someone, like, composing music, and they just happen to use electronics. What did you think about it, Trish? Did you dig this at all?
It was really hard for me to get into. I mean, maybe like how C-Pain said he didn't want to listen to it at work, or he was having a hard time getting into it at work. I was only listening to it at my desk while I was trying to do my other photo things.
Nice.
It was just, I'll give it another listen because there was just so much going on to me that it wasn't just a song that, like, I'm more of a casual music listener. Yeah. I'm not getting too into who produced it, what all the different levels are, and all the different layers of everything. So it took me a little bit longer to really sit down and listen to it, but it was interesting.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's...
And I didn't know any of the backstory, so I did not Google. I am not a professional.
No, I think that's a legit response. I mean, it's definitely not, like, an easy listen. Like, I don't think it's, like, unpleasant listen by any means, but it's certainly not like a fun background sort of thing.
And thematically, like, I know, or I just from glancing at the track list, and you can tell it's about some heavy subjects like polar ice caps melting, I'm pretty sure is discussed on the album, and other topics also.
That doesn't sound like a Trish.
Well, you were really into Radiohead. Song. There's Radiohead songs about polar ice caps melting.
All right, well, let's listen to a bit of that. It's Anhony's Hopelessness, which is the title track from the new album.
How did I become the mother of this sun, the face in mine, in hands of virulence?
All right, that was Anhony's new track, Hopelessness. And next and last is another one of my picks. It is one of the new Cyndi Lauper country album songs. So it's Cyndi Lauper featuring Alison Krauss covering Dolly Parton. So it's featuring one legend covering another. And the song Cyndi is singing is Hard Candy Christmas, which I don't know if it was originally in, but it was famously in the Dolly Parton movie, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which is a bizarre, like, very dated but extremely fun movie.
I watched that on New Year's Day one year, like probably like 3-4 years ago, and I just had no idea what I was watching.
Yeah,
it was,
I saw
just,
my
it
friends
was good,
do a
but...
stage production of that once, actually. Nice.
I mean, yeah, the Burt Reynolds mustache is like in full effect in that movie.
And that's also where she wrote that Whitney Houston song. The song Whitney Houston
Oh, yeah. I Will Always Love You. Yeah, yeah. Is in that.
Yeah,
that
Dolly
one too?
Wrote it for that movie.
Really?
Wow.
I didn't know that.
No, you're right. Yeah, yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, it's Dolly Parton. I know my Dolly.
She knows her
Dolly.
Wow, yeah.
That was for that movie. That's so...
Yeah, that was one of the things when Whitney Houston died, just like when Prince or Bowie, whenever them dies, there's usually like a huge cash windfall that comes after because everyone goes and buys all the music because they just want to hear it again. And so when Whitney Houston passed away, everyone was saying how, oh, her family, her estate's going to make so much money. But in reality, her biggest songs were all written and produced and everything by other people. So Dolly made more money off that song just following Whitney Houston's death than I think any other song or time in her career.
I didn't know that.
I know my rhinestones and my big hair facts.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Dolly's incredible. She's touring. I'm really excited. Anyways, but so Dolly's great.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
We haven't even talked. So the song that we're specifically talking about is called Hard Candy Christmas, which for a pretty ridiculous movie is actually a really like touching, beautiful song that kind of falls into that Dolly Parton category of writing songs about her poor childhood and just making it seem like really real. Like a lot of people have, you know, can sing about like what they've, the things they've come through, but like she just has those great images, like a hard candy Christmas, like just like that's all they can't afford much and they just have this stale candy that they're eating. She's so good at that. But anyways, so Cyndi Lauper did a country album. It's called Detour.
Is it all covers?
I think it's all covers. I could be wrong, there might be one original on it, but it's mostly covers. I haven't listened to the whole thing. I've been jumping around it. There's some pretty hokey songs on it. I mean, I love Cyndi Lauper. She has an incredible voice. She's So Unusual is one of my all-time favorite albums. So, like, whatever she does, I'm always curious about it. Like I said, some of the album is a little... Her album is a little goofy.
The cover is a little bit goofy.
The cover is goofy as hell.
She's just Cyndi being Cyndi.
Cyndi being Cyndi. But this song, she does such a good job with this song. Like, she has a beautiful voice. And she, like, really does it justice, and I would love to see, like, Cyndi Lauper sing this song live, which hopefully will happen when she does her country tour. But what do you think about it as a Dolly fan?
As a Dolly fan. Well, there was one part of it, I think it may have been Alison Krauss singing it, where it really sounded like Dolly. Yeah. And so I do like Alison Krauss, too, so it was nice to hear it. I don't think I would have listened to this unless it was on...
I forced you to.
Yeah, unless you forced me. So I listened to it like 5 times in a row, really tried to get into it. I started going through the rest of the album and it just, there's a, like Dolly last year or 2 years ago even did a blues album.
Right.
Taylor Swift did a pop album. There's a lot of musicians. Okay. Whatever. Don't laugh at me. There's just a lot of musicians going outside of their genre and really just jumping into it, jumping into the deep end with it. And it's really interesting to hear their versions of it.
Yeah, I think that's especially, like, with, like, singers who have been around for a while. Like, it's just a way to kind of, like, shake things up for them creatively and, like, attract new audiences. Like,
yeah, like, Pitbull's going to be on a Keith Urban track. So who even knew that was happening?
Oh, I knew that was happening.
Well, no, but I mean, like, who would have seen
something
like
that happen?
Right,
who would have guessed that a few years ago? Well, yeah, and, like, Steven Tyler is doing a country album now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know about that, but...
Well, they went blues for a while, so maybe this is just the next...
Aerosmith's always been a bit bluesy, but, like, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't want to... Well, plus it's solo Steven Tyler, which is just, like, a whole different proposition from Aerosmith.
He's been hanging out in Nashville a lot, so you know what? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt when it finally happens.
Yeah, I like how you're checking your phone while doing that. You're like,
well, it's not even
I can't
on.
Even take what I'm saying seriously enough to...
I needed to fiddle with something.
All right, fair. Chris, what do you think about this Cyndi song?
It's funny listening to Christmas songs in May.
Yeah. Fair. Well, is it actually... It's not like a listen to it at Christmas song, is it? It's just like a song about a Christmas you had growing up?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like... It straddles. It's not like a White Christmas song, but it's... I guess technically it has Christmas in the title. Mm. So
yeah, I think that's a cool kind of Christmas song, or any holiday song for that matter, one that references the holiday but is not completely immersed in it.
Right. They should, oh yeah, like Hard Candy Christmas. You could have like a Hard Holla Hanukkah.
Because that's,
I
want to
trademark that because it would be stale. Hard Holla, because that's all you can afford is the stale. Mm. All right, never mind. Everyone's rejecting that.
Is that even, is it specific? Because it, isn't it more like a Passover?
No, you're not supposed to eat leavened bread during Passover.
No, it's, but, all right.
And
yeah,
Holla
you're right.
Is pretty leavened.
It was a terrible joke anyways. Yeah. It was a pointless
joke.
Yeah,
he just meant that it was stale, and that if you were poor, worse. You had to have stale bread.
No, I got it. No, I got it. Yeah, this is a catchy song.
Yeah. What do you think about Cyndi Lauper singing country?
Sure. I'm not going to tell her not to sing country.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, let's just get Alison Krauss to sing it with us, and it'll be fine.
Pretty much.
She won a Grammy for Album of the Year with...
Robert Plant.
Yeah, Robert Plant.
That was actually a really good album. It came out when I was in college.
Raising Sand.
Yeah, it was actually really good.
It's a favorite of my mom's. And it's like a really solid, like impressive release.
I think she's gunning for that Album of the Year then.
I think she's got a couple now, because she's got Raising Sand, and I think Alison Krauss got one for the Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack too.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I don't think Cyndi has one, so... It's not going to be her year, anyways.
Maybe she has a Tony?
Yeah, yes, Cyndi Lauper has a Tony. She got it for Kinky Boots.
She's okay. Kinky Boots.
Her and Harvey...
Firestein?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, it's cool, you know, she played, I'm sure you guys have seen the news, you know, a lot of artists boycotted North Carolina after the bathroom bill passed. She played North Carolina, but... kind of helped the venue enact a change that now they have a permanent bathroom at that venue for trans people, which is awesome. So,
well,
like,
has she always been political? Because she was also just on James Corden singing about equal pay.
She's always been like a big supporter of the LGBT community. Hmm. I don't know, like, if she's been super political her whole life, but I mean, that specifically has been like a cause for her.
Well, I knew that, but I mean, she also did the parody of Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Girls
right.
Just Want to mm-hmm. Have Equal Fun.
Yeah, which was cute. That
it was
funny.
Super cute, and it was totally accurate. But I don't know. I just don't remember her really getting vocal, like that vocal with
it's
it.
Like maybe just like socially conscious, not necessarily like very overtly political.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think when she was younger, she was more interested in the politics of having fun, and now she's...
even that is, like, a feminist song.
No, it is, yeah.
In all seriousness.
She has the True Colors Gala, too.
True
all right,
Colors
so maybe
is
I just
a great
wasn't
song.
Paying attention for... No, like, a True Colors Gala, like, every year, it's for LGBT.
Yeah.
So I just haven't been paying attention, great.
Right, well, you know it. It was in the recesses of your memory somewhere.
Yeah, it was in there somewhere.
All right, anyways, let's listen to a little bit of that. So it's Cyndi Lauper with Alison Krauss, singing Dolly Parton's Hard Candy Christmas.
Fun and dandy, Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down.
All right, that was the new Cyndi Lauper country album, which is called Detour. One of our coworkers who is occasionally on this podcast, Natalie Weiner, had a great joke. She was saying that the album should be called Cyndi Slicker.
Oh, that's really funny.
Because, like, Cyndi Slicker, it's like a country, or it's like a city person
if
taking on the country
does
lifestyle.
If puns better than Billboard, I think I just need to meet them. Because, like, I know, as a collective unit, everyone's on their game.
We've got a really strong pun game here, which... You know, I don't know if it's, like, the best thing you can brag about in life, but it's something, you know? All right, well, that's all we have for this week. Thank you so much, Trish and Chris, for stopping by. And, you know, I guess everyone have an awesome week. And if there's anything you've been listening to this year, artists or songs or whatever that you think we should check out, please tweet us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. These shoes were made for adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with purchase.